Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we are a thankful people, Lord, that you are here, and believing, Father, that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And yet, Lord, as in always, you've been misunderstood, not only this generation, Father, but in all generations, which we have seen throughout the ages, Lord. And we just pray, Father, you would help us to understand, Lord, you in a way which other men cannot understand. For, Father, we believe that you have truly caused us to see. We believe that you have, before the foundations of the world, chosen us, that in this hour your glory would be made manifest in us, Lord. And so we just submit ourselves, Lord, to your glory in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. Now this morning I'd like to read from paragraph 10 of Brother Branham's opening prayer for a sermon. The spoken word is the original seed. And we'll examine why it is that people so many times misunderstand the motives of the ministry that God has placed here to teach them his vindicated truth. Now, we're going to read several paragraphs this morning, so bear with me as we begin at paragraph 10, where Brother Branham said, "And now, Lord, who separated me from my mother, who fed me all the days of my life and has brought me to this hour by his grace, feeling it was thy will that I should explain to the people why that I have acted and did the way that I have done, may it be in such a way that people will have a better understanding, Lord, of the peculiarity of thy servants. Grant these things, Father, these scriptures and texts and words that we have written here through the week, praying and studying. May they fall on good ground everywhere that they are heard, a ground that can hold them and nourish them. And then all praise shall be given to thee, for we ask it in Jesus Christ's name." To the people out in the cars who can't get in, I'm attaching a little instrument here now, and turn on your radio to 1150, and you'll get the message right on your radio in your car. Now, the connection here it's on is for the tapes. Now, to all my friends both here and wherever these tapes may travel, I feel that I owe it to the people for an explanation of many things that I have said and done. So many times people have come to me and they've said, "Our pastor says, why would you do that, Brother Branham? Why did you say this and make you do it this way?" Now, with all my heart, everything that I have done it with the best intention that I know how. And everything that I've said it from my heart. And I did it for a purpose. And I'll try this morning, by God's help, to explain from the Bible the purpose and why that I've done it. And now there, in a group of people this size, there's probably many ministers sitting here, and there'll be many hear this, and I wish that we had enough time to put it all that I had thought of and brought the scripture to the people. But to my brethren, even though that you might have disagreed with me, now I'm speaking both here and for the tapes, you might have disagreed with me much because of my stand towards what I think to be right. And you have a right to disagree with me as you may see it different. But I hope that me, by the help of God this morning, that I'll be able to show you the reason why that I have took this stand. And I have never, and there's many times that I have scolded churches and denominations, the dressing of women, the acting of men. I think I have thoroughly supported that by scripture, and never one time, God knowing my heart, have I ever had a bad feeling towards anyone. No matter if they disagree with me as far as the east from the west, I still love them. And as long as I have the Spirit of God in me, I'll always love his church, his people. No matter what they do or how they treat me, that won't have anything to do with it. I still love them. And, you know, sometimes I think people misunderstand because they think that if you're scolding the people that you don't love the people. Or they think that if you're disappointed in the way somebody acts or the way somebody speaks or whatever, they think that you don't love that person. But that's so far from the truth. The best example you have for that is your own children. Sometimes, you know, you almost pull your hair out with your own children. Things that they've done or said, and you scolded them, and you've disciplined them, but that doesn't mean you don't love them, you see. And I think sometimes, you know, we just don't think about those things. We think, well, you know, he hits it so hard, he must not love the people. And that's the way they thought of Brother Branham. I know a man who went down with his wife, and he kind of believed Brother Branham, but his wife, you know, she was just a Catholic woman, And he took her to a message called Jezebel Religion. Of course, in fact, she was a Catholic woman. She was a Pentecostal woman. And that was just enough for her. She just couldn't take it. She thought Brother Branham hated women. She thought Brother Branham was just beside himself and just calling names and everything else. But, you know, it's so far from the truth. He loved women. It's just that he hated to see what the devil was doing to him. And so we need to understand that when people act a certain way, I remember years ago, and I've told you the story, but I'll tell it again. But Brother Vail took me out behind the church when they were having church in this small farmhouse up there in DeGraff. And we went out behind the church, and the brothers were in cleaning and things, and he took me out. He said, I want to teach you something about love. And I thought, oh boy, this is going to be really great. You know, I'll get to hear from this man of God, and he's going to teach me about love. And so we walked out behind, and he looked at me, and he was ready to cry, and he said, now, Brian, I want you to understand. He said, this is about love. And he hit me in the arm pretty hard. And so anyway, and then he began to cry. And of course, I was looking at this man of God, you know, 70 years old at the time, and the tears coming out of his eyes. And I couldn't help but cry myself. And he said, now, was that Lee Vail or was that God? And right there, I understood that many times you do things because of love. Love is corrective, and you do things out of love. And if people aren't careful, they're going to misconstrue what you did and think that it was because they don't love you. So I want you to understand that when we're dealing with God, and when we're dealing, as Brother Branham said, the people don't understand. He said, my motive is right. I can go to the white throne, and I know my motive has been right. I know that my heart has been to help the people, to point them toward Christ. And that's what Brother Branham was saying here as well. Now, I want you to notice what Brother Branham is saying here is no different than what the Apostle Paul said when he said it to the Galatians after many had turned their back on what he had taught them, not understanding his motives for teaching them so strongly concerning the grace of Christ. And in reading Galatians chapter 4, you will also see that the reason for the people slipping back into the law from whence that they came out from is because false brethren had come in amongst them and turned them from Paul's teaching. Now, if we turn to Galatians chapter 4, and we'll pick up at verse 12, Paul says, brethren, I beseech you, because become as I am, even as I became as you are. You have not injured me at all. You know how through infirmity of the flesh I preached the gospel unto you the first time that I came to you. And the test to which you were subjected, and which was in my flesh, you did not loathe nor utterly despise, but as a messenger of God you received me as Christ. Now, Paul is saying that, look, I didn't come with the best health when I came to you. I didn't come feeling very good when I came to you. And so the way it came out, forgive me for that, but he said you bore with that, and you were able to receive even as if I was a messenger from God or even as Christ. Where is then the blessedness that you used to speak of? I bear you record that if it had been possible, you would have plucked out your own eyes and have given them to me. Am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? They zealously have affected you, but not well. Yea, they would shut you off from hearing me, that you might covet them. But it is good to be zealously affected, always in a good thing, and not only when I am present with you. My little children, of whom I travail in birth again, for I am longing that Christ be formed in you and openly manifested in your lives. I desire to be present with you now and to change my voice, for I stand in doubt of you. Now, just like Brother Branham, Paul was saying that the ministers were having an influence on the people and were questioning the motives of Brother Branham as to why that he was so strong on the issues of holiness that he brought out here in his opening statement for his prayer. The same thing has happened to me not only here among those who left us years ago, but also among some ministers in some places where I've gone to teach. They say, why do you speak so strongly against organization? Why do you come and stir up our people? Why do you hit so hard against the Pentecostalism in this message? Why do you cause such a division among us? And yet, all I teach is the doctrine of Christ from this Bible and from what William Branham taught us concerning the revelation of Jesus Christ. And it saddens my heart to know that the truth causes so much animosity in the people. Don't they know that William Branham said, I'm only teaching what Paul taught? Don't the people know that what Paul taught them came right from the Old Testament scriptures concerning Christ? Don't they know that what Brother Vail taught them is exactly what Brother Branham taught them? Don't they know that I can do no other than to teach what I've been taught from an indicated teacher and a vindicated prophet? As Paul said, when I came to you at the first, you were overjoyed to see me. Why is it then that I have become, when I began to teach you the truth, you become so distanced from me? And then Paul tells us what it is that is doing this to the people. He tells us that the ministry has turned the people against hearing him. And what do you think the motive is for the ministry to do such? Well, Paul said that it had to do with a sort of courting of the people. The Weiss translation actually uses the word court instead of the word accepting. It says, in other words, popularity. And why popularity? Because popularity means control. Let's look for other scriptures, we will, at this time. At several times where the wrong motive was used to control the people to do evil against God's servants who were teaching the truth of God's word. Notice in the book of Acts, chapter 6 and verse 9, then there arose certain of the synagogue, which is called the synagogue of the Libertines and Cyrenians and Alexandrians, and of them of Cilicia and of Asia, disputing with Stephen. And they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. It reminds me of when we were in Uganda. I asked, I said, if there's one minister out there, there's 230 ministers standing there, and I said, if you believe that I'm teaching error, bring your Bible up right now and stand next to me, and show all the men that are here where I'm off the scripture, and not one man moved. And yet, when we left, it was backbite after backbite after backbite, trying to destroy my character, Brother Vail's character, saying we're preaching two gods when they're absolutely... We never, ever have or will preach two gods. You see, they don't want to do it up front. They don't want to stand you face to face. They're afraid because they don't have the scripture. And that's exactly what it says. It says that the... and they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. They couldn't stand word to word, toe to toe with what he was telling them. So then they suborned men. Now, what does it mean to suborn men? It means they bribed men to commit perjury. They bribed men to commit false witness, which said, we have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God. And they stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes, and they deliberately provoked the people, the elders and scribes, to come to action against Stephen. And they came upon him, and they caught him, and they brought him to the council. In Acts chapter 13, verse 42... And when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. Now when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who speaking to them, persuading them to continue in the grace of God. And the next Sabbath day came, almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. And when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with what? Envy. Envy. And they spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you, but seeing that ye put it far from you, and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee for a light to the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad, and they glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. And the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. But the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women. Now listen, if you want to cause a stir against the word of God or the ministry that God has sent, then just get the most religious, the most self-righteous woman involved. They'll jump on the bandwagon every time. And Paul also said, and the chief men of the city. That's those men who want to be leaders. As Brother Vail said, it is not the true fivefold ministry that causes problems. It's those elders who want to control everything that causes the problems. And they will jump on the bandwagon to try to bring down God's anointed preachers every time because that's their nature to control. And when they lose control over the people because of the word setting them free, they will do everything in their power to gain back the control, even inducing to evil actions and speech against those who are expounding the truth. You can't tell me any different. It's the elders who have caused me more grief than any minister has ever been able to do. And the same with Brother Vail and Brother Branham. It's always the elders. And notice, he says, and they raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them out of their coast. But they shook off the dust of their feet against them, and the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. Now, in Acts 14 and verse 1, and it came to pass in Iconium that they went both together into the synagogue of the Jews, and so spake that a great multitude, both of the Jews and also of the Greeks, believed. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil affected against the brethren. You see, it's always the unbelieving that do so. And again, we see in Acts 17 and 13, but when the Jews of Thessalonica had knowledge that the word of the Lord was preached to Paul at Berea, they came thither also, and they stirred up the people. In Acts 21:27, and when the 7 days were almost ended, the Jews which were of Asia, when they saw him in the temple, they stirred up all the people, and they laid hands on him. In Acts 19 and 23, in the same time, there arose no small stir about that way. So you see that everywhere Paul went, there was a stir. But it was a stir because men were unrepentant. Those that were repentant, those that believed, repented of their misunderstandings and their misappropriation of the Word of God, and they received what Paul brought. But those that were cold and indifferent, those that were just religious, they stirred up problems everywhere he went. Now, from the message, God being misunderstood, Brother Branham said, paragraph 70, you know, misunderstanding gets us in a lot of trouble. Many times that people says things that they repeat after somebody else where they misunderstood them. They get a person in trouble. I believe it would be good for us if we just, well, wait till we understood what we was talking about. Don't you think so? I know it would be good for me, a very good for me, to find out first and then say it, see? But we're always seem to be misunderstood. And here David is speaking of Israel misunderstood. His miracles when they were in Egypt. Now to misunderstand is just not to say, well, I didn't hear what he said. But to see something done and misunderstood what it's for, that's you're missing the boat all completely then. I was talking to a woman actually this week at the bank, and she was telling me about a certain person that lives not so far away from the area here that believes the message and has been trying to convert her and her husband to the message, but she said it's just so misunderstood, you know, they're just so confusing what he says. We just can't understand the things that he tries to tell us. But she said, but when you tell me, she said they just seem so right and so scriptural and everything. And the problem is that this man shouldn't be doing what he's doing. He should give him a tape and let him have it. But he's trying to teach, and he's not a teacher. He doesn't even go to church on Sundays, you know, and he's not living the life himself. And yet he's trying to teach others about something that he's not doing himself. You see? And so like Brother Branham said, you know, many times that's how he says, misunderstanding gets us in a lot of trouble. Many times the people say things that they repeat after somebody else where they misunderstood them. You know, trying to teach someone about serpent seed when they haven't even taught them the basics yet. You know, and things like that. So it's just, you know, we need to be careful how we approach people. Take them to Christ first. Lead them one step at a time. You know, don't shove a steak into a baby's mouth. The baby will choke on the meat. Paragraph 71, now God doesn't do miracles just to say, see, I'm God. God does a miracle for an understanding. I want you to think about that. God does it for a purpose. And did you notice the reading of the Psalms here in the 7th verse? I think it's so beautiful. I want to read it over again. Our fathers understood not thy wonders in Egypt. You see, they didn't understand it. They remembered not the multitude of thy mercies, but provoked him at the Red Sea, even the Red Sea. Nevertheless, he saved them for his namesake, that he might make his mighty power to be made known. You see, they did not understand why that God, down in Egypt, performed these miracles. He was trying to show them his mercies. He was trying to get them to understand that he was God in their midst. I love that. That's what God was doing to Israel, you know. He said, as the eagle stirreth up her nest, that's the same thing. He found Israel in a howling land down there, and he brought him up out of Egypt and took him into the promised land on the wings of an eagle, see? And what was God doing these miracles? He was trying to get his people to see that he was the mighty Jehovah. And that's what he's trying to do today. He just doesn't heal people just because he can heal. He's trying to get you to see that he is the resurrection. Now think about that. Every time you have need of healing and you receive healing, it's because God's trying to get you to see him, that he is the resurrection. That he can make you well. He can raise up your body. He can do whatever he wants to. He's Jehovah. I like that. But the people misunderstood him. God is so easily to be misunderstood by unbelievers, by those who don't want to understand. Many people try to understand, and many people don't want to understand. They just shut up themselves and they say there's no such a thing, and I don't believe in such a thing. Then they can never understand. But a man that's willing to understand, that's willing to sit down, and come, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Now, that man is on the line of learning something from the Lord. But people who always are associated with God and God's power, you can hardly be associated with God without being associated with his power, because when you're associated with him, you're acquainted to him or relative to him, and then you have his power in you. That's the reason that people cannot believe in miracles today, is because they don't have anything in them to believe with. They've got to have something in them in there to believe with. And when the Spirit of God is in a man, he will say amen to every word of God and every miracle of God. But as my mother used to say, you can't get blood from a turnip because there's no blood in it. So that's the same thing. You can't get belief out of an unbeliever because there's nothing there to believe with. That's why I do what the Word says. The Word says, after two admonitions, reject as a heretic. Now, it doesn't mean put your nose up in the air and look down upon them. It simply means just let them alone. If you try to give them the Word a couple times, different times, and you've done it, you know, in a way which would be gracious, full of mercy, and they don't receive it, then there's nothing there to receive it. Brother Branham said, if you didn't have representation before the beginning, you won't have it now. You see, so you're just wasting your time. A man said, I don't believe in divine healing, no matter what you'd say. Certainly, it's not for him. It's only for those who can believe. If you're going to get blood, get it out from something that's got blood in it. If you're going to get faith, get it out of something that's got faith in it. And that's the way that God uses something that's got faith in it. He don't send you out here in a healing campaign when you ain't got faith enough to believe it. How is he going to send you out in a miracle working revival when you ain't got enough faith to believe it? He wants something that's got something in there that he can produce something with. So the people misunderstood. Noah was very much misunderstood in his day. Noah, acquainted of God, a servant of God, a believer in God. And when you become a believer in God, you do some things that are so contrary to what people think that's right, till they think that you're crazy. And Noah wanted, he warned of God, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, and the people thought that he was crazy. He was not crazy. He was just misunderstood because he was following the direction of God. Amen. I like that. He was misunderstood. How could a man, though you say there's never no rain come from the sky, well, what is rain? Never had rain. God irrigated the ground. Noah, where's the rain at? I don't know. Show me where it's at. I can't show it to you. Well, how do you know that it's going to come down from up there when there is none of it up there to come down? He said, it's coming down. He's able to take it up there and then bring it down. So that settled it. If God said so, that's all there is to it, see? He was misunderstood because he was following God. Now think about that. Elijah. I could say on these subjects a long time. I've got several of them here that I would like to come to quickly. Elijah was misunderstood by his nation. Elijah was an Israelite. He was a Jew. And he was misunderstood because he was always condemning his nation. Condemning the king. Condemning the queen. Condemning everything that was around. And condemning them. What a crackpot he seemed to be. Why am I? Everything, it just came out, thus saith the Lord, God's going to punish you. You Jezebel, you so-and-so. He was misunderstood. Why? He was following God. It was not Elijah they misunderstood. It was the working of the Holy Spirit in Elijah that they misunderstood. How could a man raise up against his own nation, blasphemed by his own nation, corrected, and put the curses of God upon it, the very nation, the very people that he lived with? His own race, his own color, his own creed, his own kind, and yet predict the judgment of God and call a famine upon them. He was misunderstood because it wasn't Elijah. It was God in Elijah that they misunderstood. It wasn't Elijah being misunderstood. It was God leading Elijah, and they misunderstood that God was a holy God, and he cannot tolerate sin. And no matter if it's on your brother, sister, or mother, no matter who it is, it's sin in the sight of God, and the judgment will come upon them for it. Misunderstood. Daniel was misunderstood. When all the rest of the children of Israel bowed down to the image, but he and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego refused to bow down. Well, they said, what's the matter with him? The whole nation said, what's the matter with this crazy guy? Well, all the rest of the Hebrews recognize our God. They recognize it. They bow down when we play the trumpet and the sound of the trumpets and the play of the psalteries and so forth and the sound of the flute. They all bow down. But what's the matter with this crackpot? What's the matter with him? He won't do it. Because he was in contact with God. That's what's the matter. He was misunderstood. He was supposed to be a crazy or had lost his mind. Well, they was a bunch of cranks. But they were only following the leading of the Spirit. That's the reason they were so misunderstood. All the prophets of the Old Testament, how they rose up and prophesied against their nations, how they prophesied against the people, how they prophesied against the thing, putting curses on them and doing things like that, they misunderstood. Why? They were God's servants. They were doing the will of God. They were doing the service of God. Therefore, they were misunderstood. And anybody that follows God is misunderstood. Jesus our Lord, when his birth, he was misunderstood. The Magi, they were misunderstood. They were following a supernatural sign to a king that was born, king of the Jews. They knew there was a star rising out of Jacob, according to the prophecies of Daniel. And they knew this king would be a savior. He would be the king of Israel. And they came 2 years, all the way from India, down to the Tigris River, and across the deserts, and through the mountains, everywhere, and come into the city of Jerusalem one evening, about sundown, screaming, where is he that's born, king of the Jews? Where is he? And nobody knew about it. It was a strange thing that the kings of the Jews, or the king of the Jews, was born. And people hundreds of miles away knew all about it. Right here in the city where he was born, in the place he was born, among the people that he was born to. And they knew nothing about it. They misunderstood the Magi. They said, there's no such a thing as a king of the Jews. We got a king up here, Herod. He was misunderstood in his birth when he was born. And Mary was to be the mother before she was married to Joseph, misunderstood. They thought it was born out of holy wedlock. They did not know that the Holy Ghost had conceived this child in her. But it was misunderstood. It was an act of God, and the people misunderstood it. They still misunderstand it. An act of God is usually misunderstood. Only by spiritual believing people, people who believe the Spirit. But it was misunderstood. The Magi was misunderstood. Herod misunderstood it. When Herod said, well, you tell me where the baby is, and I'll go worship him too. He was a hypocrite. He was lying. What? What was he afraid of? He didn't know the scripture that there was supposed to be a Messiah come, a king of heaven. And Herod thought it would be an earthly king, and he wanted to kill him to get rid of him. He wasn't an earthly king. He said, this earth is not my kingdom. If this was my kingdom, my subjects would fight for me. But my kingdom is of above. And Herod misunderstood him. He thought he was an earthly king. That's the way they say today. What church do you belong to? If you're a Christian, what denomination? None. They don't get it. See, they can't understand it. They think a denomination means a Christian. It's vice versa, very much so. But it's misunderstood by the people. Now we find out that Herod misunderstood it. He couldn't understand it. Nicodemus couldn't understand it, the new birth. When it came to Jesus by night, someone condemned him. I don't condemn him. He was a good man. He wanted to find out something. He was busy through the day. Maybe he was at his priest's office or something or other. He had to come by night. Anyhow, he got there. He'd done a lot better than a lot of people do today. They won't come day or night. And he finally arrived. And for you to condemn him, have you? He finally got to Jesus, and let's not condemn him if we haven't been there. And if you get there, then I don't think that you'd condemn him. No. He got there, and he come by night. Maybe he was busy. Anyhow, he come, and maybe Jesus was too busy out praying for the sick and things. Only time he could catch him for an interview would be at nighttime. But he finally got there, and he stayed there till he got an interview with Jesus. And when Jesus said, he said, Rabbi, we know that you're a man sent from God, for no man can do these things except God be with him. And Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. He not even see the kingdom of God. And the great rabbi, master of Israel, said, me, an old man, to be enter into my mother's womb and be born again? See? He misunderstood what Jesus was talking about. He just didn't get it. Because that Jesus was talking about a spiritual birth, and he was trying to apply it to a natural birth. So he misunderstood him. He didn't get it. And the way that people are, just like Nicodemus, many of us misunderstanding the things of God because we just take it and apply it for a natural thing. Like, say, a doctor. He would say, oh, I do not believe in divine healing. I don't believe in those things. I heard a doctor tell a woman in the office one time, he said, and she didn't know, and he wanted to know what became of the growth that she had. And she said, Brother Brown prayed for me, and the Lord healed me. And he said, I don't believe it. He said, I can never believe anything like that. He said, tell me who took it off. He said, find the scar. He said, what did you put on it? He said, nothing, not at all. He said, he just called me out of the meeting, and the thing left. And I was sitting right in the next room. That's right, sitting right in the next room listening. And she didn't know that I was in there. And he didn't know that I was in there because he didn't even know me. See? And there I was sitting in there. And he said, and taking somebody else to the doctor's office. That's exactly right. And I could overhear what he said. I got the patient and got out of there when I found that he didn't believe. So he said, I don't believe one word of it. Said, I've never seen anything yet that could do anything like that. I don't believe it. Said, I've got to see it. Before I believe it. And she said, well, what about my growth? He said, I'd have to see it leave before I believe it. See? Seeing is not believing. Faith is the substance of things that you don't see. You believe it first and then it happens. So the man was not a believer. So therefore, it was all a mystery to him. He didn't know what he was talking about. Because he couldn't understand it, it was a riddle to him. People today, they say, oh, I don't believe in that divine healing. I don't believe in that Holy Ghost. I don't believe in that speaking in tongues. I don't believe in that shouting. I don't believe in all this stuff like that. I don't believe in it. Why? It's a mystery. You're just misunderstanding. It's God. And here it is in the Bible. Here it is bringing the same result that the Bible spoke of bringing. Then it's got to be God. You just misunderstand it. That's all. God is misunderstood. His disciples couldn't understand his miracle that night when he came into the boat. And he said, what manner of man is this that even the winds and the waves obey him? They misunderstood that he wasn't a man. He was God. That's what's the matter with people today. They want to make him a little mascot boy or something another that carries the bat. They want to make him just a little fellow around the camp. He wasn't a little fellow around the camp. He was Jehovah God. They misunderstood it. They expected him to be just one of them. He wasn't one of them. He was God among them. He was more than a man. As I've often said, he was a man when he was hungry, but he was God when he fed the 5,000 with a biscuit, two biscuits and some piece of fish. He was a man when he tired on the back of a boat, but he was God when he ceased the wind and waves and made them to obey him. What manner of man is this? He wasn't a manner of man. He was God manifested in a man. They misunderstood him. They thought him to be a man. Mary, son of carpenter. But he was God manifested in the flesh. Amen. The Roman soldiers misunderstood him when they had him set in the court and put a rag around his eyes, and they hit him on the top of the head, and they said, now, if you're a prophet, they all say, you're a prophet, come tell us who hit you on the head. See, they misunderstood that Jesus said, I do only what the Father shows me to do. I do what the Father shows me. And then I do what he tells me to do. And they misunderstood it. They misunderstood his ministry. The Jews misunderstood him. How he come to their friend and Savior. And they wanted to make him was evil. They misunderstood his ministry. He said, the queen of the south shall rise up in judgment with this generation and condemn it. For she came from the utmost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And a greater than Solomon is here. But they misunderstood that he was greater than Solomon. They thought that he was just a man. Many of them thought that he was born out of holy wedlock, come up out of a bad family that had these desires and so forth, and bastard child, which he just had the question. They could not even, and why they said, we know that you've been born out of holy wedlock. You got a devil on you. Why you try to teach us? We are rabbis. And he said, you are of your father, the devil. See, they misunderstood. When the Roman soldier went back one time, listening at him and said, never a man spake like this. We never heard a man speak like this. It was a man, is not a man speaking. It was God. Yes, sir. Man didn't speak like that. A man tells and speaks the scripture. Jesus makes the scriptures live. A man don't live like this. The scripture says this here. Here it is. Man can say the scripture says it, but that's about all he can do. But Jesus could say, I and my Father are one. My Father dwells in me. He that's seen me has seen the Father. Nobody else could say that. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. That's right. He that's seen me has seen the Father. Nobody else could say that. No wonder them soldiers said, there never was a man that spake like this. We don't speak like a scribe. He don't speak like a scribe or a preacher. He speaks with authority. And even the devils obey him. And the winds and the waves obey him. And they thought he was a man, but he was God. See, he was misunderstood. They said, why, you're born a bastard. You're born out of holy wedlock, and why would you try to teach us? Why, we know that you're mad and you got a devil. You're a Samaritan. Been over there and got them devils on you. You're trying to teach us holy rabbis? And he said, you're of your father the devil. Yes, they misunderstood him. They didn't know who he was. That's what's the matter with people today, trying to make him something that he isn't. He's not just a man, he's God in a man. No third person, he's the only person. Yes, sir, they misunderstood him. The Pharisees and the Pharisees that invited him down there, that time for dinner, a big banquet, he misunderstood him. He thought he'd just have him down there, and I preached on that message out here not long ago, at a breakfast, I believe, in Chicago, at that breakfast. And that Pharisee said, now look at him, sitting back there, unwashed feet and everything. That little woman come in and washed him with tears and wiped with the hairs of her head. And he said, if he was a prophet, he'd know what manner of woman that is there washing his feet. It shows that he's not a prophet. And Jesus stood up and he said, Simon, I got something to say to you. Amen. He just misunderstood. That was all of it. He said, you invited me to come, and I left my busy schedule to come to your invitation. And then you never met me at the door. You never washed my feet. You never anointed my head. You never kissed me welcome. You just let me come in, dirty and stinking and full of sweat, and set me here in the corner to make fun of me. But this woman, she constantly kissed my feet, and she's washed them with the tears of repentance. What a beautiful water. And wiped them with the hairs of her head. I've got something against you, Simon. Verily I say unto you, her sins, which are many, are all forgiven her. Amen. And Simon misunderstood. She misunderstood. Simon said, he's just a man. She said, he's God, my Savior. He was misunderstood. He's still misunderstood. The disciples at Calvary, they misunderstood when they all denied him and they went away. How could they see a man that they had knew to perform miracles and raise the dead, yet submit himself to death and walk through there, beaten and crying, the spit running off his face and blood mixed with it, where they pulled their handfuls of beard out, plucked it from his face and warped his back till his bone was shining through, and kicking him and beating him around, them cussing, drunken soldiers beating him right up the street, and stand and let them do that. They misunderstood, so they stood far off. And that's right. And the devil misunderstood him. The devil said, surely that cannot be the Son of God that would stand there and be mistreated like that. And them cussing and my disciples down there just treating him that anyway and him taking it. He's not the Son of God. Also the Pharisees, the priests, misunderstood him. They said, if thou be the Son of God, bring yourself down off of there. The thief on his left misunderstood him. And he said, if thou be the Son of God, take us off the cross and save yourself and us too. But the thief on the right understood him. He said, we have, and we've done evil, and we deserve what we're getting, but this man's done nothing. Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And watch that voice that came back and said, today shall thou be with me in paradise. He understood that was God dying for our sins. The only way that he could die would be to put to death in the flesh. He can't be put to death in spirit because he's the eternal spirit. And he had to be in flesh to be put to death. So they just misunderstood. But he understood it. One day, about 10 days after that, or about 40 days after that, 50 days it was, the disciples climbed up into an upper room. And they stayed there for 10 days and nights until the 50th day came. Then all of a sudden there came a sound from heaven like a rushing mighty wind. Because Jesus had told them, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but wait in the city of Jerusalem until you're endued with power from on high. They knew that it was going to come. Now they knew it had to happen. Go up there and wait until I send it. And they waited up there. They confessed, got everything out of their minds and hearts. And they were waiting all in one accord, in one place, waiting for the promise, walking back and forth. The men and women up there walking around together in this upper room, all the doors barred so the Jews couldn't get in to hurt them. And all at once, they was up there walking around, and there came a sound from heaven like a rushing mighty wind, and it whirled around through there. And then licks of fire began to set upon them, and the doors flew open, the windows come open, and out into the city they went, and they were misunderstood insomuch that they said, "Are these men not full of new wine? These people are drunk because we hear them babbling off something that we don't know what they're talking about." All at once they said, "How hear we every man in our own language? Are not all these Galileans?" They misunderstood that it was a promise of the Father. Then God had a prophet there who could stand up and speak. Peter said, "Ye men of Jerusalem, and you that dwell in Judea, don't misunderstand this. This is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel. And it'll come to pass in the last day, saith God, I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and upon my handmaids and my maidservants, will I pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. I'll show wonders in the heavens above and in the earth below, and fire and vapor and pillars of smoke. It shall come to pass before the great and terrible day of the Lord shall come, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." It was the work of God. It was the work of the Holy Ghost, but they misunderstood it. He was misunderstood. He's always been misunderstood. Israel misunderstood him. The people in Noah's time misunderstood him. The people in Daniel's time misunderstood him. The people in John's time misunderstood him. The people in the prophet's time misunderstood him. The people in the Pentecostal age misunderstood him. The people in this age misunderstand him. It's still the same. They don't get it because he's misunderstood. It's the time to compare the natural with the spiritual. When the people in now, after the day of Pentecost, when it was all filled with the Holy Ghost, had this great big meeting up there, they called a man down that had been crippled from his mother's womb. Two of them was going along the street, and this beggar shook a can and asked for some money. And he said, "Silver and gold have I none, but that which I have I'll give unto you." And he said, "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, stand up and walk." And he took the man by the hand and raised him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. He began walking and leaping and running and jumping and praising God. Went into the street, into the temple, and all the people began to come together and screaming and carrying on. Why? It was unusual. And they put him in jail and threatened them that they should not preach any more in the name of Jesus. And Peter said, "Why should we listen to God or man? Or who should we listen to, God or man?" And they turned them loose, thinking because they'd whipped them a little bit and threatened them that they'd hang them the next time or burn them or put them on the cross or something, that they'd stop it. But the next thing they found, they was out on the street doing it again. Why? They misunderstood it. It wasn't them people. It was God in those people doing those things. When they caught up with little Stephen at the Sanhedrin council that morning, they said, "We'll take him before the court." When all these rabbis and Jews and high priests and holy fathers and all of them gathered out there, these doctors of divinity, it'll scare him in the wits. So they brought him in out of his chains and stood him out there, a little fellow like a lamb amongst a bunch of raving wolves. They said, "Watch him take down now and say, I'll take it back, brethren. Don't you all bother me." He said, "You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, why do you resist the Holy Ghost like your fathers did? So do you." Amen. They found out that it wasn't him. For they picked up clods and they threw their hands in their ears and they began to gnash upon him and clod him to death. And when he raised his head up towards that, and the bats beating him from one side to the other, and he said, "I see the heavens open, and Jesus standing at the right hand of God." Amen. And he fell asleep in the arms of the Lord Jesus. And when he died, he said, "Father, lay not this sin to their charge." See, they misunderstood what they did. Paul standing there, look at it. Later on, it got on his nerves, and he said, "I'm the least amongst them because I bore witness to Stephen's death. Thy saint." Amen. That's it. See, people misunderstood this enthusiasm. People misunderstand today. They misunderstand the power of the Holy Spirit. They call it a bunch of holy rollers. They call it a bunch of people that ain't got it right in their mind. They misunderstand that you had to lose yours, what you call your right mind, because you have the mind of Christ in you. You can't have the mind of the world and the mind of Christ at the same time. One's carnal and the other's one's spiritual. He that walks after the flesh is carnal. He that walks after the spirit is spiritual. Amen. So I'll lose myself and find it, Lord, in Thee. Yes, sir. So God's misunderstood. It's not you that's misunderstood. It's the Holy Spirit making you do those things that they misunderstand. Amen. They're not speaking against you. They're speaking against Him. People are misunderstood. There they let them go. But they get right back in the street and start again. The same today. They misunderstand the people. They don't know what it is. Today I'm misunderstood in my ministry. That He sent me to the people. They misunderstand. Every one of them, they say, we believe Brother Branham. I talked to a preacher a while ago, said, Brother Branham, we all know that you were sent to the church, but the idea is, how do you come baptizing in Jesus' name? They misunderstood the scriptures. They misunderstand it. That's what He sent me for. That's my purpose of being here. Why do you teach the serpent seed and things like that that's contrary to what we teach? Well, brother, that's why I'm here. They just misunderstand it. Amen. But God is bearing record by His Word and the signs of the Holy Ghost in it. And no matter how much they misunderstand it, God's confirming the Word. Amen. God's always been misunderstood. And those who live with God are misunderstood with God because it's God working in them. Amen. You believe it? I love Him. I love Him because He first loved me. Do you love Him? Raise up your hands and say praises. Purchase my salvation on Calvary's tree. Are you glad that you're misunderstood? We used to sing a little song saying, now I'm marked by the Spirit divine. That's right. People that once loved me turned their back on me now because I'm marked by the Spirit. Amen. I lost my mind of the things of the world to receive the mind of Christ. Therefore, if I have the mind of Christ, my mind seeks those things which are above. I'd like for somebody to show me any different correct baptism besides the name of Jesus Christ. I'd like for somebody to show me a scripture that says that the serpent didn't have a seed. I'd like for somebody to show me a scripture that says there's three gods. Then they say, well, what is it? God sent me His message, and He bears record of it. He confirms the Word with signs following. That's what the Bible said. They can't deny that. It's a fact. But what do they do? They misunderstand it because I didn't come in the name of the Assemblies of God or the Oneness or the Two-ness or the Three-ness or the Church of God or the Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, or Lutheran. I come in none of them names. I come in the name of Jesus Christ. And God, by His mercy, confirms the message by the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So it's still the Spirit of God that the people misunderstand. That's right. They misunderstood. Sure, you're misunderstood. All that live godly in Christ Jesus shall be misunderstood. All the way from righteous Noah, all the way down into the modern day saint, today is misunderstood. Always been. People misunderstand it. Israel misunderstood it. They don't understand. They just can't. Because they're carnal in spirit, and it won't deviate with the spiritual because it will not mix. But I'm glad that we live in a kingdom that's not made with hands of men. I'm glad that we're going to a kingdom that man had nothing to do with. I'm glad that our kingdom is above. And if our kingdom is above, we're born from above. Then we seek those things which are above, where Christ sits at the right hand of God. Oh, where He's not ashamed of us as our testimony. We're not ashamed of Him on this earth because we are pilgrims and strangers. We're not of this earth. We're born of the Spirit of God. We're sitting together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, washed in His blood, born of His Spirit, filled with His grace. That's it. Misunderstood. But what do we care? We love Him. Don't you love Him? Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we're so thankful, Lord, that we are misunderstood because we know that we're just following Your way. We know the attributes of an obedient Son of God will to do nothing but what You show him to do, to say nothing but what You tell him to say, to have no doctrine but the doctrine of Christ, and to have no will but to crucify our own will, to receive only Your will. And we ask, Father, that You would manifest these things in our lives. In Jesus Christ's name. No matter how much we're misunderstood, Father, it's because we understand You. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Soul, are you weary? trouble, no light in the darkness you see. There's a light for a look at the Savior, and life more abundant and free. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Through death into life everlasting, He passed and we follow Him there. Over us sin no more hath dominion, for more than conquerors we are. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. His word shall not fail you, He promised. Believe Him and all will be well. Then go to a world that is dying, His perfect salvation to tell. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace.
Amen. There will not be any Wednesday night service, but there will be a work detail Wednesday night. And Saturday will be communion, 7 o'clock. God bless you all.